Okay, it's 7 o'clock. It's time to call to order the Town of Scary Bay's normal CST meeting. If you all could join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, I'd appreciate it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. Well, for those of in the audience who have joined us, we're trying something new tonight, and we're experimenting with our new video conferencing service. So if you bear with us while we figure out all the ins and outs, but hopefully it'll be pretty streamless and seamless, excuse me. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and open this to public comments. If there's any members of the public that wishes to speak on any item that is not on the agenda, if you are on the video conferencing, if you want to raise your hand, you can do that now, and I will open this up to you. Okay, I'll give another second. Hearing no public comments. I'll go ahead and close public comments. And we'll move to the consent calendar. Are there any items that any of the board members wishes to remove or discuss?
I'll make a motion to accept.
A second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves? Vice President Graves?
Director Graves, can you hear us? Director Graves, are you there?
He may be on mute.
I said we're trying this out, our new system, so there's going to be some...
Rod, go ahead and speak, please.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Are you able to hear?
Yes, Rod, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now hear you, yes, Vice President Graves.
Yes.
Okay, I am... whatever I was voting, whatever, I approve the consent calendar. Thank you.
Thank you. President Gatto?
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, we'll go to item E, presentations. Viola. Not me.
Turn on the mic, please.
Good evening, board. I'll be presenting Veolia's water and wastewater monthly report and numbers for June and July 2021. Very proud of her to achieve that kind of a number with the work that we do, but we're very proud. hazards, maintaining electrical rooms and properties, fire safety, monthly inspection reporting, which we're required to do, and of course with June, we were looking at firework safety before the 4th of July. And in July, we were covering hydration is a hot topic this time of year. Extreme heat and water hazards while driving, or excuse me, weather hazards while driving. And our job safety analysis, which basically consists of any time we send our crew out to do a task, whether it's routine or definitely out of the ordinary, they sit down and assess, can they really, are they mentally up to the bar? Can they physically do the work without having caused an injury to anyone? So, and all staff is attended. On the next slide, our water wells, for both months, all wells were active. No, none of them are down. And we'll flip the page. Our water production and chemical numbers, for total for the month of June was 118 million gallons of water produced. And chlorine usage, or sodium hypochlorite usage of 5,300 gallons. And for the month of July, we had a production number of 128 million gallons and a chemical usage of 6,950 gallons. On the next slide, our water compliance numbers for the month of June, coliform samples collected were 20, basically the difference of five week month versus a 4 week month. And then July, 16 samples were collected. And none were positive for coliform, so no compliance issues there. Due to this time of summer, or time of year, water droughts, concerns like that, we don't do excessive hydrant flushing or anything like that. We try to hold that off until later in the year, unless a customer complains. So that's why those numbers are zero. And on the next slide, we're moving to wastewater. Our lift station status, all 15 lift stations are active. And no compliance issues, no SSOs to report. And our wastewater flow and chemicals, as you know, wastewater plant 1 is still being bypassed to wastewater plant 2. And wastewater plant 2 for the month of June, we had a flow of 33.7 million gallons and a chemical use of polymer of 200 gallons. In July, our flow was 35.5 million gallons and our chemical use of 400. And our discharge for both both months were 1.1 million discharge, 1.15 for the month. Wastewater compliance, all of our routine compliance samples were well below the required level. Influent BODs, effluent BODs were really good. No coliform detections, and our filter removal rates are 99%. For both months, which is really good. The number that we do tend to watch closely, especially this time of year, is our conductivity. We're pretty close to our limit almost year-round, but we're happy to say that in the last couple of months, this has been a higher time, and we've actually kept that down a little in history. So hopefully we can keep that trend without having to ask the state to exceed that number. And on the last slide, our maintenance improvements for both months, the ongoing projects for June are almost identical to the ongoing projects for July. We didn't have any SSOs to report and zero customer complaints. And for the projects ongoing, we did have emergency repairs on an upgrade of lift station E's control panel. Basically, we were taking the existing control panel out of the underground and bringing it above ground, getting it away from the hazardous gases that's eating those control panels. Also a very dangerous safety concern. As of this, that project was still in place. focus in is pulling panels off and opens up our solar dryer to anything else coming in, cooling the kind of delaying the drying of the soil and solids and things like that. We do have all of the panels repaired as we speak, and we're trying to take the measures to keep the doors closed, keep anything excess from going through there, to try to keep them from blowing off as best we can. So, the molds, we do have molds B, C, and D have been completely repaired. We do have one mold we're waiting on. They shipped us the wrong plug. So as soon as we get that plug, all four molds will be running and working, which is helping us to keep up with the solid drying. And let's see, and that is the last mold. On, of course, at the bottom of the lines, you'll see that, of course, we are in the beginning stages of the denitrification project, and that they have really started doing a lot of dirt work there. It's almost night and day difference looking at it now as it was even a month ago. They've been pretty successful so far from what we can tell. Haven't did any rains or anything like that to report about, and they have started excavating the headworks area of Plant 1. So I encourage folks to come out and look and see some of the stuff when you get a chance, because you may not see it again, you know, for many years. So if you're interested or have any questions, please come out. Any questions?
Ed, can you just refresh our memory? What are the molds again?
So the molds, all right. So I say that's a redneck term for a little robot. Basically, it is a little robot that was built in Germany. Basically, we haul the solids out after we go from the belt press. We're trying to dry the solids as best we can to just not dump a bunch of slop out there that would take twice as long to dry. So what we do is we put a thin layer of the sludge out so that it will dry faster on a larger area. And instead of us having a man or a tractor in there running over that all the time to spread it out to turn it over while the water's draining, we have an actual robot that is on like an extension cable, basically. And it runs in there on automatic sensors, and it just keeps it kind of level and turned over. Without that, it takes us a lot longer to dry, which means we don't have the storage capacity to keep up with the belt press. And if we do that, we're in a problem. So, hope that helps.
Good.
So that's the mold.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all.
Well, congratulations on the number of safety days. That's fantastic.
I will keep it up. So appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move forward to item F1, possible action to regarding the town's emergency response plan.
Yes, I'm going to bring up my executive assistant, Maddie Cabrillo, who's worked very hard and diligently on this plan, to give you a report on it and ask for your approval.
Good evening, esteemed members of the board. Tonight, I present to you the final version of the emergency response plan, which has been added as additional material to the website for those members of the public following along. Very minor changes were made to the version that was posted with the agenda packet last Friday. The booklet in front of you is the version that was posted as additional materials earlier today. The town of Discovery Bay established a Certified Emergency Operations Plan, or EOP, that was adopted by Resolution 2015-19 to be used during an emergency. Staff presented a draft of the ERP to the Internal Ops Committee on August 4th and received feedback and some suggested changes which have been completed. Staff presents before you today the final version of the ERP. The Emergency Response Plan is just one section of the Comprehensive Emergency Operations Plan. The ERP is a concise booklet containing essential information required to perform specific assignments or functions during an emergency or disaster. Sections 1 through 4, which are tabbed for the board members, provide an accurate and fairly complete picture of the position that district staff have been asked to fill during an emergency. It includes employee rosters, safety checklists, step-by-step instructions on how to set up and close down an emergency operations center, along with all the forms necessary to log events and telephone contact lists on who to call for assistance. All the documentation needed to complete the task district staff will be asked to perform is in the booklet in front of you. Staff requests for the board to That is the end of my report. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have at this time.
I think you did a fabulous job, and I can't really imagine the hours that you spent on this. And I know we all
And what you have in front of you is single-sided. It'll be printed double-sided, so it'll be thinner and more portable. And all of the suggestions that you made earlier, we incorporated into the final version. You're welcome.
Yeah, fantastic job. Thank you very much.
I'll make a motion to accept.
Well, before we do that, let's go ahead and open the public comment.
Let's do that.
Is there any members of the public that wishes to address this issue? If so, raise your hand. Okay, hearing none, then we'll close public comment and bring back the board for either action or motion. Call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Ugato?
Well, it sounds like Director Graves already answered for me. Aye. Motion carries. Nice job, Maddie.
Thank you.
Okay, then we'll move forward to item F2, the LAFCO issue.
Yes, Mike Araka, please go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, we can hear you.
Mike, I can.
I think he may be talking to you with that.
Somebody wave their hand if they can hear Mike.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. Oh, okay, great. You can hear me. Okay, thank you. So this item has been brought before the board previously. In February, the board actually gave authorization to proceed, prepare the necessary documents to apply to LAFCO to annex not only the Pantages property, but we have a couple of other parcels of our own, the Newport Water Treatment Plant and water plant number two that have never been annexed to our district. And that being the case, we are billed approximately $11,000 a year in property taxes. So we took this opportunity to work with Pantages. They have agreed to pay all of the LAFCO fees for the application, and we are preparing the documents to submit our parcels, and they are preparing the documents to submit for their parcels to LAFCO. The board also in April 2020 approved the resolution adopting the CEQA document, which was a notice of exemption. And so we've been waiting for the Board of Supervisors to approve the project, which they did on July 13th. And that being the case, we can now proceed if the board so chooses to put the resolution before you, 2021-13, which authorizes the general manager to prepare and submit all documents. Back in 2020, we did inform the board that we believe there would be approximately $15,000 in expenses for the town to prepare a legal description for that year. But we're gonna try first to just submit the documents we already have. And hopefully if they accept those documents, we will not need to incur that expense. So with that, I'll be happy to respond to any questions you may have on this application for LAFCO.
Staff report for the scientific tour. Oh, we see two bids.
Any more members? I'm not hearing any questions from the board at this point, Mike. Let's go ahead and open it to public comments.
$15.
Unless Director Graves, you had a comment you wanted to get to first.
Where was the yoga? Not far, huh? Oh, Blair. Tim Cook. Me.
Okay, it doesn't sound like we have any public comments out there, so we'll bring it back to the board for action.
I make a motion to approve the resolution number 2021-13, authorizing application to LAFCO for a sphere of influence expansion and annexation of the Pantages project and district owned parcels.
Wow, that was a very articulated motion. I second that motion. Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves? Vice President Graves?
Continue.
President Gateau?
Aye. Director Graves?
There we go.
Yep.
Yep.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, now we'll move forward to item three. Regarding the synthetic turf in the community center.
Before we move on, Councilor Atterbury has his hand raised.
Oh.
You want me to
yes.
Open it up for him? Okay, one moment. Go ahead, Councilor Atterbury.
Yes, I'm here.
I can hear Member Graves
when it appeared that you could not. So for some reason, I'm hearing him through the computer, and that's all I was trying to tell you, is he voted aye.
Okay,
we got it.
We're good then.
No. Stand by, Director Graves. We're
dealing with some
technical issues. Okay. Here we are with item three.
Okay.
This matter concerns. Back in March, we talked about what kind of landscaping we wanted around the community center pool. We went through several ideas, and we decided on synthetic turf. At that time, we felt that we got kind of a preliminary cost estimate of that, and that was around $55,000. And we knew because of various... So we actually bumped it up to about $81,000 as a budget for the synthetic turf because we knew there was rising costs associated with COVID. We went out to bid and we received two bids. We received a bid for $113,692 and a bid for $166,000. So these bids were exorbitantly more than what we had budgeted for, and these appeared to have been bids by general contractors, and we didn't receive any bids from synthetic surf specialists, and we're not quite sure why, but we did reach out and ask one, you know, why this high rate, and we were informed that these general contractors tend to subcontract these projects out. They build a little margin in for themselves, and that is the reason for the high bid.
but it should have come in around $80,000. Well, this was well in excess of our budget. And so, although the recommended action in the staff report is to approve the low bid, that's pretty standard. Staff believes that there's no rush on this. This exceeded our bid. The pool's not going to be open until next season to general swim. So there's no urgency to get this synthetic turf in, and that staff would like the opportunity to maybe market this out into the synthetic turf specialty places a little better and reopen the bid. Now, if that's the decision of the board, I would need a motion to reject all bids that have been submitted and direct staff to reopen bids at a later time. That concludes my report. I'm available for questions.
I have a quick question on the bids. If we're going to resubmit them, are we going to detail out kind of the costs? I think that was some of the things that we had discussed in the Parks and Recs meeting in the requirements of the bid, detailing out like the labor versus the costs, and then also giving a deadline, because I think that was some of our concerns as well, is that maybe the deadline is of trying to get it done by August or October caused some of that cost to go up because they weren't able to get the material in that amount of time.
Yes, we can do that, but if we go out to RFP again, we probably will have a deadline because now we're butting up against getting it in time for swim.
Yeah.
But we will have a greater margin of time than we did last time, hopefully.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I just like to make the comment or the question. It seems like we made a lot of our decisions based on the original bid of the $55,000, and that contractor never even submitted an official bid, which kind of puts into question the validity of his original $55,000 in my mind.
Well, we've reached out, and that has been adjusted by that contractor, but still in the $80,000 range, which we had predicted due to COVID. And the reason why that contractor didn't submit a bid was for unrelated kind of business issue reasons existing at the time.
Let's go ahead and open up to public comments then. If you wish to address this.
Charles Elfrick.
Go ahead, Bill.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Bill, we can hear you. Please speak.
From memory, as I recall, you have approved the completion of the pool at a bid of about $451,000. Did that original estimate include this, or is this just more cost outside of the upgraded repair price that we've already agreed on?
I don't know where $451,000 comes from.
Is that your comment, Bill?
If you go back to when you did it, you had where you said you had budgets. And it came into about $450,000 that you were going to be able to spend on repairing the pool as opposed to building the new pool, and approved that budget thing. And that even had like about a $20,000 slush fund in it that you had money in that you said you had money budgeted, but you didn't have anything to spend it on yet. So I'm just trying to find out if this is just another, I don't know what you'd call it, increase in the cost of the stupid pool.
I'm going to switch the mics for you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other public comment?
No other public comment, but I know Director Graves would like to speak.
Please, Director Graves.
I am muted.
We can hear you.
Am I heard?
Yes.
You are heard.
Okay. I would I think we should not be real hasty on this right now. So far of a budget, this is I would be in favor of waiting and putting this out to bid, making sure that we're not getting any extra contingency fees involved in the bids, and I am also concerned about the timing, as is Director Porter, but I think we probably have time to do that, so that's what I would be in favor of.
Okay. Then let's bring it back to the board for either further clarification or motion.
Motion to reject the possible action regarding the bid results for installation of synthetic turf, and then to be resubmitted at a later date.
Yeah. I'll second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Director Brown?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Gray?
President Gray? Aye.
President Bateau?
Aye. Most carries. Thank you. Okay, then we'll move forward to item F5, Conservation Corps. Cool.
Good evening. So the California Conservation Corps is a statewide program allowing the Corps to hire 18 to 25-year-old young adults to be engaged in community beautification and natural resource projects. Agreements with the Corps are exempt from prevailing wage requirements. As you might know, since the beginning of the year, the town landscape crew has been down one employee. Temporary employees have been brought in, but they're limited in terms of using our vehicles, some of the landscape equipment. So we're trying to find ways to get as much out of our limited resources as possible. So I met with the Corps regarding a different streetscape project, and in our discussions, we learned that they have maintenance-specific crews that mow, detail, and maintain parks. They provided a proposal for September 2021 through June 30, 2022 in the amount of $43,050. This would be to mow, detail, perform weed control, and provide tree and shrub trimming work at our parks, Community Center, Cornell, Slifer, Ravenswood, and Regatta. Flexibility does exist that during the dormant season, the town could use other core crews to assist in installation or other streetscape cleanup projects on an as-needed basis when there is budget monies. So in comparison, one town landscape employee is able to mow and detail our parks, not including weed control or tree and shrub trimming, and that annual in about 32 to 40 hours, and that annual cost is nearly $65,000. So tonight, staff recommends the board to approve the attached contract with the Greater Valley Conservation Corps for a total project amount not to exceed $50,000 for the maintenance of town parks and other areas as needed. The $50,000 total adds a little bit of flexibility for some other projects, rental equipment, supplies, which would constitute extras during the contract period.
I think this is a great idea, Bill. Can you detail out how many people from the Conservation Corps would be working at it for that cost?
So for the maintenance crew, he has one lead and three, so a total of four.
Four.
Yeah.
And how much oversight would you have over that?
So they would check in with me each day when they get to the site, and then I'll review what they've done and add suggestions or reach out to the project manager in terms of finding a better balance, if need be.
What about insurance? They would be covered under their own workers' comp.
They're fully insured and fully, yeah.
I noticed inside the contract it does have a termination with 30-day written notice. Is there any penalties for terminating?
Not that I know of, nope.
Yeah, I'll just echo the sentiments of Director Porter. I think it's an outstanding idea, and kudos to you for coming up with it, because we have to be creative, and you were very creative here, so nice job.
I'll chime in again. I saw them. I know that they were doing a practice project off of Pixar. They were doing an awesome job. It was super early in the morning. It looked like they were on top of it. So, again, great thinking outside and having them do a practice one.
I'm going to be happy to have them.
So, definitely.
Let's go ahead and open to public comment.
No public comment.
Okay, we'll go to public comment and bring it back to the board for action.
I'd like to make a motion to take staff's recommendation to hire a Conservation Corp for maintenance of town parks.
I'll second that. Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. Motion carries. Excellent job, Bill.
Thank you.
All right, then we'll move forward to the manager's report. Monica.
Good evening. I'm here to give you a pool update. So the tub shed has been built. If you take a look, it looks beautiful. NAS has begun moving the equipment back into the pool and getting all of that set up. Adams Pool set the rebar for the pool decking last week, set the anchors for the handrails and grab rails yesterday. They are having a bit of a difficult time locating the backstroke anchors. They seem to be out of stock where they've looked, but they have a couple more places that they're still checking. So as soon as those get in, along with the handicap anchors, they will get those set, call for decking inspection, and then once decking inspection passes, they'll pour the concrete for the pool decking. That's for pool update. Any for that portion of it? Any questions?
Appreciate getting the updates. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And then I just lastly wanted to mention, I know I had kind of mentioned at the last meeting that we're looking into purchasing bulk chemicals to save prices. So still reached out to another company. I'm waiting to get that price back, so we're still working on that, but I'd like to get one more price just to do our due diligence and make sure we're getting the best possible price for that. That's all I have.
Great, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Tina.
Okay, so on Monday, I received a phone call from Ludo Renscalmanini that Justin Shove had put in his resignation.
Oh.
I know. So I got a call from Scott Lewis, and so he is now already set up a transition team. They've been working on this behind the scenes for about 3 weeks now. We are going to meet with them on Tuesday, or Monday, I believe it is, August 23rd. We're going to talk about current projects, future projects, and what it takes to do the transition. In that meeting, we're also going to meet our new engineer, and his name is Jason Coleman. He's been with LSCE for quite a while. So he will be working with Justin and Oscar Serrano, who did our urban water management plan, to ensure a smooth transition. LSCE did inform me that we are one of their top priorities, and they want to continue to provide us with comprehensive, responsive, goal, and solution-oriented engineering. Justin had worked for LSCE for about 20 years, and wastewater manager Goldsworthy and I have worked with them for 10 years. He's done a lot of projects for our town, so we're definitely going to miss him. He will be moving into the public sector. He is going to be an engineer for the District of Land Management in Arcadia. So he is up in Eureka now, and he is loving it. He just wanted to make a change in his life. So I wish him, his family, and all the best. And we'll definitely miss his explanations. So I just wanted to inform you of that, and we'll continue to inform the board of how the transition is going.
Well, kudos to him. I mean, he's been a great asset, and good for him for moving on. Okay, do we have a general manager's report?
Yes, thank you. Earlier tonight, under the consent calendar, the board approved a letter to the Measure X Advisory Committee supporting funding to the Sheriff's Department. The board in January had also passed Resolution 21-01 supporting Measure X funds for the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. The Measure X Advisory Committee will be making recommendations to the County Board of Supervisors on where Measure X money should go. There are two more
public advisory committee meetings where they will take input. Those virtual meetings will be on Friday, August 20th at noon and on Wednesday, August 25th at 5 p.m. There will be a link to the advisory committee's agenda page on our town website, and I would encourage our citizens to attend and advocate support for our fire department and sheriff's department. That concludes my report.
Great, thank you. Any other future agenda items from the board? Well, to the members of the public, again, this is our first time with the video conferencing, so we apologize for a few of the little hiccups here, but we will get better at this. And at 7:42, meeting's adjourned.